بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to a long hadith that usually is referred to in the books of fiqh as the chapter that deals with al-qasama. Al-qasama is derived from the word al-qasam or to swear. And we have hadith number 339. It's quite long, so we have to read it in a little bit short and at the same time, not very quickly. It has to be clear. So who would like to read it? Yes.
Sahal bin Abu Hatma narrated that Abdullah bin Sahal and Muhayyisa bin Masood went towards Khaybar at the time of truce and they separated. Muhayyisa came and saw Abdullah bin Sahal killed in his blood and he buried him. When he reached Medina, Abdurrahman bin Sahal, Muhayyisa and Huwayyisa, the sons of Masood, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdurrahman wanted to speak, but the Prophet said, "Make the older speak. Make the older speak," because he was youngest, so he was silenced. The other two spoke. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "So you swear by Allah and you deserve the blood money of your deceased companion?" They said, "How can we swear on something we didn't see?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Will the Jews exonerate themselves by the oath of 50 of them?" They said, "Messenger of Allah ﷺ, what do we do with oaths from disbelievers?" Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ personally paid them the blood money. In the narration of Hamad ibn Zayd, 50 of you swear that the particular individual from them, the Jews, had killed him, and he will be given to you tied up. They said, "Something we didn't witness. How can we swear?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Will the Jews exonerate themselves by the oath of 50 of them?" They said, "Messenger of Allah ﷺ, they are disbelievers." Sa'd bin Ubaid, the Prophet ﷺ didn't want to make his death a waste, so he gave them the blood money, 100 camels of the camels of Sadaqah.
Very well. Now, this hadith is, in a sense, strange to the rest of the hadiths in terms of who is to claim what, and no evidence is to be given. So those who were claimed at should give the oath. This is the usual. The Prophet said, alayhi wasalam, al-bayyinatu ala man idda'a. The proof is to whoever is claiming. And if I don't have proof, then the other one who's being claimed at should give the oath. For example, I say, I gave him $100. The judge says, I'm the one claiming. Give me proof, either something written or two witnesses. If I fail to do this, but I say, I did give him, then the judge turns to the other one and he tells him, swear that you did not take from him the money. If he does not swear, this means that he has the money. But if he swears, he said, wallahi, I didn't take the money, khalas, it's gone. Here it's different. And the scenario of the hadith is, as mentioned, a man close to Khaybar finds his friend, Abdullah ibn Sahal, may Allah be pleased with him, dying in his blood. Somebody killed him. So he goes to Medina. He takes Abdurrahman ibn Sahal, who is the man's youngest brother, and he takes his own brother, and they go to the Prophet ﷺ. The victim's brother wants to speak because he's the one with the right to claim the blood. But the Prophet tells him, kabbir kabbir, meaning that no, the elders should speak. So the man tells the Prophet about what had happened and that their friend was killed next to Khaybar, the village of Khaybar, which is filled with the Jews. So this is one of the reasons for such a process. When there is enmity between two tribes and we find one killed next to the other tribe, this is reason for doubt. Who would kill such a person if it's not an enemy? And also scholars say that if there are circumstantial evidences, such as we find someone who's killed and we find his furniture, we find his belongings, his watch, his wallet with another tribe. So this makes us think that who would have killed him except those who took his things. But did we see the killing? No. Do we have any proof? No, we have doubt. In this case, what happens is that those claiming, because they don't have proof and they don't have any witnesses, yet there is some ground to their claim, the sunnah is that they take 50 men and each one swears by Allah, this tribe killed him. Or this individual, if they suspect a particular person, they all say, Wallahi, he killed him. And this happens when they have strong belief that he did that. Now, one of two, either by them swearing, then that particular person has to be killed for it. Or his people have to present 50 men, each swearing that he did not. Now, for the people to claim is more difficult than the people to defend, because the defendants or the people defending may have been with the man all day long. They know. But those claiming that this particular person killed him, who did not see it, this is a problem. This type of qasama was found at the time before the Prophet ﷺ. It is also reported, if I am not mistaken, also in the Sahih, that this happened with Abu Talib, when one of Bani Hashim was killed and the killer left. And as he was dying, he told someone that this person killed me, and he died. So this person, the messenger, took this message to Abu Talib, and he told him that your relative so-and-so was killed by so-and-so. And they gathered the tribes, and they said that we accuse this person of killing him, but we don't have any evidence. The person who was murdered is dead, but we know that he did it, but we don't have any proof. So the custom in Arabia that 50 would come and swear. So 49 came from the tribe of the man of the killer. And one woman who had a child, she requested Abu Talib that to spare her child because he cannot swear or cannot have this oath. And she allowed someone else to take his place. And they all swore that this killer did not kill. And the narration goes on to say that a full year passed and all the 50 were dead. Those who swore, 50 of them, they all died before a full year was complete. And this shows how great and dangerous it is to testify and say, Wallahi, as if there's no God. They're idol worshippers, but they believe in God and they believe in idols as well. They swore of something and they were lying, and the story goes that they all were killed. They died before a year was completed. So this is what scholars say about the qasama, that it has to take place. Now, if the party of those who are being claimed to have done the killing, if they refuse, then by default that they are the one who are accused of killing, and they have to pay the blood money. If they swear, what happens in this case, as in the case of the Prophet ﷺ, if the one accusing is requested to swear 50 times and they decline, they say, how can we swear on something we did not see? Then it has to go to the Jews or to the other party. Then you swear you did not do it. But if the people who claimed, who accused, said, we don't accept their 50 swearing because they're disbelievers, in this case, it is the responsibility of the Muslim ruler to pay off the blood money of the deceased. Even if they swear, even those accused swore 50 times, the money would not go in vain, in the sense that the deceased or the victim, his blood would not go in vain. It is a responsibility of the Muslim ruler to pay off for his blood by paying him, as in the hadith, 100 camels. And this 100 camels is the diyah known, or the blood money for any person who is killed unjustly, whether it is deliberate, semi-deliberate, or by mistake, by accident, it has to be paid. The head of the Byzantine state, when he asked Abu Sufyan, and he, at the time he was a kafir, he was the idol worshippers' leader, he asked him about the followers of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, does any one of them reject Islam because he doesn't want Islam? And he said, no, which is illustrated everywhere you go. All Muslim countries, despite their poverty, their ignorance, despite their difficult lifestyle, no one leaves Islam, though if he does, no one would punish him. most countries, if not all, the punishment of apostasy is not applied. So no one prevents a Muslim from leaving Islam if he wants to leave it, to commit an act of apostasy. He's not afraid. No one is going to kill him. Yet still people do not leave their religion because their conviction that it is the right and the final religion. The following hadith is hadith 340. Who will read that for us? Go ahead.
Anas ibn Malik reported that a girl was found dying by smashing her head between two rocks. She was asked, "Who had done this to you? Was it this person or that person?" Until they mentioned the name of a Jew. She then nodded her head. They seized the Jew and he confessed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that he should be executed in the same fashion by smashing his head between two rocks. In another narration, in a Muslim and a Nasai, Anas narrated, radiallahu anhu, that a Jew killed a girl over pieces of silver jewelry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam executed him for her.
Okay, we have a short break. Stay tuned and inshallah we'll be right back.